16 Minutes of Care is a podcast based on the CARE principles, a strategic framework that reveals how brands create impact by caring and, as a result, grow their business. In each episode, Isabel welcomes a company executive who explains how CARE has helped their business grow successfully and sustainably.
Matter Foods is a new generation of plant food. They work with fermented mushrooms and they bring it in blocks, in steaks and mince with only 5 local and organic ingredients. I'm very happy to welcome Randy Walson, the CEO at Matter Foods. She knows a lot about the food industry because she has a track record in it, and she knows how to market plant-based brands in a sustainable and successful way. Welcome, Randy.
Thank you very much.
Could you first of all explain where the name comes from?
Yeah, so the name Matter is actually the ancient Nordic word for food. And that's actually a big point for us, because I think in this whole wish to replace meat with plants, a lot of the products that are out there today are using meat language. They're sort of setting themselves up as replica. And we would like to go beyond that into a place where we're not talking about meat replacement, we're simply talking about wonderful food.
Okay, so that's already a differentiator with the rest of the plant-based meat alternatives. Okay, interesting. We'll talk more about that. First, a personal question. You used to work in the food industry. Dairy amongst one of the brands you worked for. Mm-hmm. What made you make a change 2 years ago to choose for a plant-based startup?
Well, for me, the whole sustainability agenda as well as the public health agenda are just incredibly important, and they've been a big guide in the work I've done also in the established industry where I came from. But I also came to a point where I felt like I pushed it as far as I could within the established world. I'd been part of launching a plant-based alternative to dairy within a dairy company, but I felt that the deeper I dived into this topic, the clearer it was to me that we need such revolutions that they're not going to come from the big guys. They need to come from elsewhere, and that was why I very deliberately when looking for someone who would share my visions for a different food system.
So the change will not come from the big guys?
No, not fast enough.
Not fast enough, okay. Interesting. Could you elaborate a little bit more? So Matter Foods, because it comes in blocks and in mince and kind of meat replacer, mm-hmm. What is the big difference with other meat replacing plant-based ingredients we find on the market today?
Sure. So a lot of the products that are in the market today, they are all based on the same technology, which is fundamentally that you isolate proteins out of plants and then you mix them up with some other ingredients and glue them back together with some methylcellulose, and then you establish something that looks like meat. And in many ways, that's fine, but for a lot of people, that is too processed. It is questionable whether it's really healthy enough. The ingredient lists are very long, and honestly, the footprint, when you look at the products, it's also not as great as it could be. So we felt very much that something completely different was needed. So the way we're doing it is a completely different production method, where we use an old trick of nature, really, namely fungi fermentation or microbial fermentation as our production method. So we let the fungi spores work with our 5 simple ingredients to create the product and the taste. And that means that you can get a product that is real food. It's very simple, it's ingredients you understand, but also a product that really has the sort of deep umami flavor and the texture that you have in meat, where you have that sort of bounce and juiciness That is some of what makes meat so attractive to eat.
Mm, okay, but you don't have any additives in your product?
None at all.
Could you say then that your product is a more healthy alternative to what is already on the market?
Well, now claiming health is a very difficult legal topic, but yes, I'm very unashamed to put ingredient lists and nutritional values up against each other, because fundamentally the product that we have is low fat, high protein, but also very high fiber, and the nutrition is released in a whole different way when you ferment it. So you do get a product that is actually considerably healthier.
That's interesting, because indeed when you're a vegetarian or a vegan, it's sometimes difficult to find real products that are not so processed, like you say. So interesting.
Exactly.
One of the issues when I talk about care for the planet, what I sometimes hear as a criticism is they say, well, why should we do all these efforts? Because when you look, for instance, at meat consumption on a global scale, it's still going up because more and more middle class, more and more people on this planet, and for many people, meat is still a luxury product and they want to eat it. So are we really going to change the tides by us here in Europe, in tiny countries in Europe? I'm Belgian, you're Scandinavian, you're Danish. Are we really going to change the tides and make the world more sustainable with these tiny efforts?
No, we're not, if we keep them tiny. And that's part of what I come into this with, also coming from big industry. I fundamentally don't think that you can talk about doing something sustainable unless you also have an ambition to make it big. Because if it's small, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have any impact. So our ambition is not just to create a product that is oh so exciting in Denmark and sort of Northern Europe, but to create a product with a price point and a value that makes it attractive all across the planet at some point in time. That's sort of our leading star.
One of the second criticisms that I often hear when I give examples, because in my book and in the keynotes I give, I always give examples from companies who do care for people and planet. And then often I get the criticism, yes, but those are expensive products, so they have huge margins and they can afford it. And it's true today, if you have a low income or you really have to look economically at how you spend your money, it's sometimes very, very expensive to buy plant-based or to buy only vegetables. How will you manage that to make a product that is on the price level affordable for many?
Well, I do think that is a very key question. Our ambition is to create a product that is cheaper than meat, but we're not in a place where we've achieved that yet. But that's what we're striving towards. Fundamentally, that should be possible, that shall be possible, because we have a much more efficient use of ingredients than what goes into meat. You need 10 times the protein grown on the soil to create one protein in meat versus what you need to create our product. So the product economies should be able to work. We should be able to make it cheaper for everyone. Now, of course, the food pricing we have today and the reason why sometimes you can get meat extremely cheap is more political than it's a matter of necessarily true costs of the ingredients.
It's subsidies, you mean, and things like
that? It is subsidies, and it's the fact that right now you're also not paying for the footprint that you leave on the planet.
Yeah, totally right. The product, 40% of the ingredients of the product are upcycled. Could you explain what that means and how you get this upcycling?
Yes, absolutely. So upcycled means that we're taking products that would otherwise have been wasted from their potential of being human feed. They would either have been animal feed, or they would have been complete waste, or they would maybe have been used for biogas. But all of those are sort of lower level, less efficient uses. Right now we're doing it primarily with waste from farms. So products that they can't sell into the established industry and retail. But we've also been working very...
So that is the potatoes,
and the beets. And right now we do that by working directly with farms to get that. We've also been working very much with what you can call industrial side streams. So like brewer spent grain, oat press cake, soy press cake, all of those side streams from other industrial products, they can also be used into this. But it's a difficult area. There's so much potential, but it's so underexploited and actually hard to get.
I can imagine. One of the dreams that you have is not only to go global, but also to go fully circular. What are the hurdles ahead of you to do that?
Now, I do think fully circular is a term you should be very careful to use, in the sense that I think it's very hard to make anything really fully circular. But we're trying on every dimension to leave as little a footprint as possible. And we do that by using upcycled ingredients as much as we can. We do that by having established a ideally no waste principle also in our production. We already have a production form that has almost no waste at all. But even like the cooking liquid, the water that we've used to boil some of our ingredients, we reuse at a later stage in the process. So we try to make it completely waste-free. But also in the packaging, we've developed a new type of packaging that means that we can almost avoid plastics. You can't entirely, but taking it down by over 60% versus sort of the standards that we were first looking at. So we're trying to sort of look at every dimension of the product to see how small a footprint can we give ourselves on this.
Mm-hmm. You're really a startup. You work with more or less 15 people today. You're launching the product through food service, so through restaurants and canteens. Mm-hmm. What are the reactions to the products?
Well, so far we've had very, very good reactions that we're very happy for and very proud of. And I think what really makes me happy is that it's two types of reactions. There are people who just, you know, taste it, like it. That's of course the most important thing. That's wonderful. But I think also a lot of the reactions that we've had from the chefs and restaurant owners that we work with, where they're saying, this is, you know, we want to be on this agenda, but we've just not been willing to serve any of the products that's been on the market yet. We don't want to put our names to something overprocessed and far from our food ideals, but this is exciting. This is in line with our ideals of real food and real craftsmanship. So I think there's been sort of that immediate reaction, but also that slightly more philosophical approach to food that have both been very positive.
And also culinary approach, because indeed several of your founders, they come from the high culinary Scandinavian world. Mm-hmm. So there is a high level of taste, I suppose. I haven't tasted the product, so I can't say.
Oh, you must.
Yes, I must, absolutely, absolutely. No, that's nice. The brand is still very young. How do you think you could scale it? Is your next step to go into supermarkets and... Yes.
Yes, it is, because fundamentally we want to make this product available to all consumers. And also, again, if you really want to make an impact, you need to be where consumption is, and a big part of that is in retail. But of course, it's challenging for someone as small as us and with as small budgets as we have. That's why we've gone also the restaurant way. Because we're trying to use collaboration also as a means to establish communication and awareness of the brand in the way that we sort of co-branded with the restaurants that we're in, and they're talking about us and we're talking about them and our collaboration as one way to do a little bit more with less money.
Is collaborative marketing one of the new ways of doing marketing, in your opinion?
I think it is. I don't know whether it's really new, but I think credibility is really important to people, and in that way I think there is a lot of leeway in not just talking about your product yourself, but if there are others who are actually willing to talk about your product because they also find it exciting, I think there's a lot in that to modern consumers who know what traditional marketing looks like.
Mm, I understand. Final question, because the first episode is almost done. You're still a startup, but still with a very clear focus on care for the planet. What could others learn from Matterfoods that you say, we've been through that, but now happy to share those tips or tricks?
Yeah, you learn so much in the beginning. I would say one thing that I think all companies could do a lot better was to really look at their waste. There's so much waste out there that people don't even think about. So many side streams from all kinds of productions that you don't think about at all that actually potentially has quite some value. And I would love for other people and other companies to put that out there more.
Mm. And collaborate again.
And collaborate.
To make sure that there's less waste or a better use of waste.
Exactly.
Great. Great insights. Thank you so much, Randy. Talk soon again. For those at home, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening and take care.
Want to create lasting impact with your brand while feeding sustainable growth? Check out thecareprinciples.com and see how we can help you. 16 Minutes of Care is an independent production from Isabel Verstraeten, brand strategist, founder of The Care Principles, and author of the book, Does Your Brand Care? Help us reach more companies who are looking for caring and sustainable growth by giving this podcast all the stars it deserves and by sharing it in your network. Thank you and take care.